Matthew chapter 15. Now here in our text this morning, we're going to look at a familiar passage of Scripture. It's the account of the Canaanite woman. And we'll begin reading in verse 21 down through verse 28. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan, a cursed Gentile, came out of the same coast, and she cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But he answered her not a word. And the disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away. Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." And she said, "Truth, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, one of the first things we see in this passage of Scripture, again, is God's sovereign hand. God's sovereign hand. In verse 21, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ had departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and at the same time, what a coincidence, right? No, God's providence. At the same time, she's coming out of that same coast, and she cries unto him. And she says, "Have mercy. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, thou son of David." Hold your place there and turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Look, beginning with verse 37. Here we read the words of our Lord himself. He says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing." I'm not going to lose one, but should raise it up again at the last day. "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day." She comes to him, but it's he that has drawn her to himself. The Scriptures declare this: "It shall come to pass that before they call, I'll answer. And while they are yet speaking, I'll hear." It's also clear that she knows something of the Lord Jesus Christ. This woman had a daughter. It says it was grievously vexed with the devil. And she cries in her great distress. And she says, "O Lord, O Lord, thou son of David." The Lord Jesus Christ is the son of David. He's God in human flesh. God and man in one person. The Scriptures declare him as Emmanuel, God with us. And she comes to Christ. She comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would have to imagine, can you imagine in the time that our Lord walked this earth, that brief time that our Lord walked this earth, there had to be thousands. There had to be, I can't even imagine the number, that only knew him as a man named Jesus. They only knew him as the carpenter's son. Isn't that what they said? That's Mary and Joseph's son. We know him. We know who he is. But my friends, he's the Son of God. God walked this earth in the flesh. And how many just passed him by? How many did he pass by? But not this one. This is one of his. He's going to show, just like Mephibosheth, this is another one. He's going to show mercy to. This is one of his lost sheep that he's going to find. O Lord, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. And she comes to him by faith, asking by faith, and revealing her faith in his power and dominion over all things to do something that obviously no one else has been able to do. All things, all people, all diseases under his control. And knowing that the Lord, being Lord of all, could heal her daughter, that he could save her daughter at his pleasure. He worketh all things. We read that. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And she comes to him for mercy. Now back in Matthew 15, look at verse 23. But he answered her, not a word. Not a word. Here we see something of faith being, I believe, being tested. And it would appear that for a while she stopped asking him. She stopped asking the master anything and went to the disciples. Because look at their response. Look at the rest of verse 23. The disciples came to him and they besought him and said, send her away. For she crieth after us. Send her away. We must be taught to wait on the Lord. Whatever the circumstance, to wait on him. You know, I don't think I'm just talking about myself. We want everything right now, don't we? We don't want to wait on anything. But listen, we're going to be taught to wait on him. Wait on the Lord. The psalmist wrote this, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. And since we usually don't hear things the first time, he says it again. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Got to be repeated. We have to be told over and over to wait on him. And we read she continued to cry after him, like Jacob of old. I'll not let you go till you bless me. Like that blind beggar over in Luke 18. Remember that? He cried out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And the people rebuked him. They said, be quiet. Hold your peace. And what did he do? He cried out the louder, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy. Have mercy upon me. Simon Peter over in John 6, our Lord said, Peter, will you go away? And Peter replied, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Who else would we go to? God's word declares this, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And here, look at verse 24. He answered his disciples. He said, I'm not sent unto the lost sheep of Israel. The lost sheep of Israel. What did he come to save? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Lost. His church, his elect, our Savior and Redeemer, he made satisfaction. He made atonement for the sins of his elect, for his church, for his bride. He came to obtain eternal redemption and salvation for who? For his sheep, for his people. In Adam, we're lost and straying and never could recover ourselves. We've wandered far from the fold. Far from the fold. I can remember growing up on a farm, we'd go out and when they were dropping calves, you'd go out there and look for those calves. You never found them in the barn. That cow would go as far away from the barn as they could possibly go. And they'd drop that calf. And when it was time to bring it home, guess where that calf did not want to go? Back to the barn. You throw it up on your shoulder, you'd carry it a little ways, you'd set it down and think, hey, we're close enough to the barn. It'll go its way now. Nope, it'd turn and just go right back the other direction. And flip and flop the whole time you were carrying it. That's the way we are, isn't it? We get as far away as we can. By nature, that's what we do. We're going to run as far away as we can. Oh, but he comes and he picks us up. And then what the scripture throws us on his shoulder, carries us home. This is my sheep that was lost. And he calls the neighbors and tells them, come and look. Come, trophies of his grace. In Adam, lost, strayed. But he came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Isn't that a description of every one of us? Huh? It's a description of his sheep. It's a description of his bride. And then look at verse 25. What did she do? He just said, I'm not come but to the lost house of Israel. And what does she do? You know, men bow up when they hear that. How can God do that? What did she do? She came and she worshiped him. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Consider her condition. Consider our condition. She couldn't help herself. No man could help her. Her daughter was grievously vexed. Only one could, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. No hope. No hope apart from Christ. No hope apart from his mercy. No hope apart from his love. No hope apart from his grace. Turn to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. Look beginning in verse 20. Here we read of this perilous voyage that Paul was on, going to Rome. And in verse 20, it says here, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. They were brought to the point where they had no hope. No hope. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and he said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, should not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. But listen, I exhort you. Now listen, remember where they're at now. They're to the point where they said all hope's lost. It's darkness, it's just all hope is gone. And Paul says, I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Who could that be? That could only be one. That could only be the Lord Jesus Christ, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Why? I believe God, that it shall be even as he has told me. All hope that we should be saved was taken away. All earthly hope, that is. But be of good cheer. He said, be of good cheer. I believe God. I believe God. And this woman who'd heard of Christ, this woman who had been brought to Christ, this woman that had cried out for mercy, she believed God and she comes to him and she worships him. And listen to her cry. Listen to her petition. Look at verse 25. She came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. help me. It wasn't a big dialogue, was it? It just got right to the point. Who's she talking to? She's talking to the Lord. What does she need? She needs help. Who she need? She says, help me. Lord, help me. Think about this. Our Lord had said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of Israel. I came to save the elect. And how do men respond to that statement? In our day and time, how do men respond to that statement? The natural man's response to that is anger. It's the same response today as it was when our Lord walked this earth. They get angry. How do I know that? Well, if you turn to Luke 4, look back at Luke chapter 4. It cuts at man's pride. It cuts at man's self-righteousness. Look at Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 25. He says, I tell you of a truth. Luke chapter 4, verse 25. I tell you a truth. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout the land, but unto none of them. None of them was he sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto that little widow woman. One. Out of all those people, he sent his servant to one. And he said there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet. And none of them was cleansed. All those lepers floating around. None of them was cleansed save one. Naaman the Syrian. And you know, aren't we pleased? Aren't we thankful when God's pleased to save just one? Just one. Don't we rejoice when we think about our sin and we think about who God is and He's just and right to condemn every last one of us? Don't our hearts rejoice when He saves just one? But what's the natural man's response to this? There were a couple, he told about a couple people that the Lord showed mercy to. And all they in the synagogue, now these were the religious people at the time, all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath. They were filled with wrath, and they rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he tells of particular redemption, they wanted to cast him over the hill. And it wasn't good enough just throw him over the hill. They wanted to throw him over the hill head first and make sure and get the job done. God's right to save whom he will. They won't hear it. Again, they were filled with wrath. Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Start reading in verse 25. It says, Jesus answered them. He said, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you believe not. Why is that? Why don't they believe? Because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. I and my Father are one. And what did the Jews do? Look at verse 31. They took up stones to stone him. My sheep My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. Let's read on here. He said, I'm not sent. Back to our text. I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of Israel. And this Canaanite woman's response, this woman with no hope, this poor sinner, what's her response? Then she came and she worshiped him, saying again, Lord, help me. Again, the self-righteous man, that offends him. That offends him. He's resting in his works. He's resting in his deeds, in his keeping of the law. Despite the fact that they mean so much to him, in the sight of God, they're filthy rags. Our best in the sight of God are filthy rags. But this sinner, she cries, help me. Help me. The Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. Look at verse 26. And he answered. He said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. How long will faith be tested? How long will a trial last? God's people are a tried people, tested people. And the answer is this, until His purpose is accomplished. Until He accomplishes the purpose whereunto He sent it. 1 Peter 1:7, we read that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. What's he saying? You're a dog. You're a dog. You're not worthy. You're a sinner. And how do we reply to that? Remember when Naaman the leper went to be healed of that leprosy? Remember that little servant girl said, this is the one you need to go to. And he went to the prophet Elisha, and he came with his horses and his chariot, dressed in his best apparel, no doubt, to try to cover his leprosy. And he stood at the door of Elisha, and Elisha sent out a messenger, sent a servant to him, and told him, he said, you go dip in the River Jordan 7 times. What was Naaman's initial reaction to that? He's furious, wasn't he? He said, I thought he would have come out there and stood before me and called on the name of his Lord and his God and put his hand over the place and just recovered the leprosy. Naaman had to be brought low, didn't he, before the Lord was pleased to heal him. And this Canaanite woman, she was brought low. Shall I take the children's bread and give it to a dog? And look at her reply, verse 27. She said, truth, Lord. What you're saying is the truth. Folks in our time would say this. They would say, I just don't understand why bad things happen to good people. Part of the problem there is we always look at ourselves as the good people, right? They'd say this. They'd say, I'm a good person. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of everything I own. Why is this happening? Now she says, truth, Lord, truth. You know, that response can't be attributed to anything other than God's grace in the heart. Everything, all that you've said, Lord, is true. It's true. I'm not worthy. He was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. She was a dog, a sinner, unworthy of any favor. It's not right to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. She didn't argue, did she? She just said, that's the truth. But listen to this. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I'm a dog. Oh, but if I could just have a crumb. If I could just have a crumb from the master's table. Just a few crumbs will do. Verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. That word whole means to be cured. It means to be healed. But it also means this. It means to be free from sin. To be free from sin. It means this, to bring about salvation. To bring about salvation. She was made free from sin. She was made to be free from sin. This Canaanite woman desired her daughter to be healed, and we read that she was made free from sin. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for His people? He was made sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I want to close by reading a passage of Scripture from Ephesians chapter 3. Turn to Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Look at verse 20. Think about what this woman was asking. She was asking for something that would have seemed absolutely impossible. With anyone else, it would have been impossible. With man, impossible. With God, all things are possible. Look at verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Amen. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Our God and Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this thy word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful that you would see fit to show mercy. Mercy to a sinner. Lord, cause us to be mindful of this, that we are sinners. Lord, cause us to be thankful, knowing that thou art the Savior. Lord, be merciful unto this day. Lord, we pray that you would continue to call out your sheep. Lord, to be merciful. We pray you might see fit to save our children. Pray you'd bless us in days to come. Lord, bless us this afternoon. Be with us as we return here this evening. Bless your word for Christ's sake, we pray. Amen. Thank you.